If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.
And we are back with another episode of the Kyle Anzalone Show. And I am very happy today to have Lieutenant Colonel Karen Kwiatkowski returning to the show. Karen, I wish it was under better circumstances, but I think your insight and analysis is absolutely invaluable in a time like this. So I really am glad to have you here today to try to help me make sense of what's unfolding in the world, because I think we are truly looking at a massive crisis scenario that is going to get really ugly. So before we get into all the bad news, Karen, how are you doing today?
I'm doing fine, but it is you know, depressing. It's depressing to watch this. And, you know, when the past 25 years, I mean, my eyes were opened in the, really with the, you know, the war with Iraq, 2003, that invasion, that toppling. And before that, I would have been like so many people, like, you know, the government knows what it's doing when it comes to these things. And, but working in the Pentagon, during that, I got to see how we really do it. And we spin lies, we create lies, we punish truth tellers, we silence them. And we're seeing, you know, that again, of course, in Trump. But this, but then after a few years after that, and even a year after 2004, we started to hear what really had happened. And, you know, Bush and the neocons were vilified as they well should have been. And people did a lot of mea culpas, you know, they said, well, we were fooled, or yeah, we shouldn't have done that, or it was a mistake. And then, of course, we had the years of torture, CIA torture, military torture of our prisoners that we had from Afghanistan and elsewhere. And that came to light also. And so the American people got a sense, they got to see how our military operates, you know, how the CIA operates, how the government operates. And so I thought, well, we learned something. And then, of course, elected Obama. And Obama was a great assassinator. He liked to do that. He enjoyed it. He got off on it. I mean, just like all the presidents do. And then we had Trump. And Trump was kind of, you know, that first Trump term, he was drawing on American frustration that had been developing since we all got kind of our eyes opened after 9/11. And certainly invasion of Iraq on false pretenses. And so I thought maybe we'd gotten better, that maybe the Congress would be smarter, filled with people that were smarter. I mean, we have tons of people that have served in the military in Congress now, which we didn't have before. And that's a direct result of the Iraq War and the Afghanistan wars. You know, these guys became politically interested. And yet, look what we have. It's as if none of this happened. It is as if we learned nothing. And I know that's not true. Because the people, if you look at social media, a lot of people who you might peg to be this or that are anti-war. So that's great. But it's still not enough. And certainly Washington, D.C. has done nothing more than hunker down and, circle the wagons, do whatever they want to do. War for money, war to hide the Epstein files, war for Israel. how do we profit? You know, who's betting on the day of the start of the war? I mean, what is this? You know, honestly, I want to just put a big fence around DC and make it another country, and then we can do what we want. Maybe we can, you know, bomb it, or we just ignore it and let it starve to death. I don't really care, but that they are so disconnected. DC is so disconnected with the rest of the country. And yet, when they want soldiers to die, when they want sailors to get drowned and shot, you know, airmen, then they say, oh, the heartland, where's our patriots? Send your children to die for DC, for Israel, for you name it, all based on lies. And Trump, the insulting thing about Trump is he was a great communicator. Now he's a great babbler. I don't know if it's age or what it is, but, you know, he didn't even bother. He didn't lift a finger to bring the American people on board with this. He basically said, you know, I'll decide. He's the decider. He's the heir of George.
Well, Garen, can I ask you, because I'm very curious here, because you were in the Pentagon, you know, during the run up to the Iraq War. Mm-hmm. And I was a child back then, so maybe I misremember things, but mm-hmm. it seemed like the American government really, really worked to convince the people to go yes. to war. You know, mm-hmm. we had very professional demonstrations. We had science and satellite imagery and all this evidence. Now, it was all lies. Don't get yes. me wrong, but this time it seems like it just happened.
Yeah, this is what's weird about it because, and that's actually what caused a lot of people to become anti-war. It was the discovery of this panorama of lies that had been foisted on the American people for months and months and months prior to the actual invasion of Iraq. And of course, culminating in the famous Colin Powell speech to the UN, you know, where he holds up little things and, you know, it was all theatrical, fake. But they put some work into it because they knew Americans wouldn't support it. And they said, well, you know what? The American people have some power. We probably ought to get them hyped up on this before we do it. And that is actually, you know, that's Clausewitz's strategy of war. You have to have the people behind you if you want to win a war. That you may not win if the people are behind you, you still may not win. It's no guarantee. But part of war is having the people supporting the state that is conducting the war. There has to be some unity there. So, of course, you know, the governments lie and propagandize to get that. Trump didn't even do that this time. He didn't even bother. And so then when he's asked questions about it, he didn't even have his playbook together. You know, the guy's sitting there like, well, what's it for? Well, this reason, that reason, this reason. Oh, now it's the other reason. Oh, no. Where'd you get that from? Well, you told it to me yesterday. You said that was the reason. Totally unprepared to lead, if that's what you want to call it. He's certainly unprepared to politically lead America through this war. I mean, there's just so many things that are upsetting to me at this point, 5 days in. This morning, the White House spokesperson, who's the girl, the blonde-headed lady that does the...
Caroline Leavitt.
Yes, Caroline Leavitt. So she is... I heard her on the radio today as I was coming back home. She's... Oh, Trump is going to give you free airplane tickets out of the Middle East, all you Americans that got stuck there. And at no cost to you. 5 days in, there's, I don't know how many, there's hundreds at least. And they said, I heard thousands, several thousands of Americans, maybe much bigger than that. I don't know. But these are ones that have they want to go. Maybe they worked in Dubai. Maybe they worked anywhere. Maybe they're in Israel. They want to go home. They want to get out of this war zone. And yet, oh, strangely enough, we didn't have a plan for when all the airports were going to be shut down, either because of the war or because it was part of Iran's strategy of defense to lock down the ports, lock down the airports, and which they did. Now, they didn't do it to keep Americans locked in Dubai or any other place. They did it because they're fighting a war, and this is one of the pinions that strengthen the West in this thing. And so they shut them down. It's just like they shut the oil down. I mean, this is a war tactics. It makes a lot of sense, but that's fine. And the fact that it makes a lot of sense means that you could have predicted it. And now we have Trump in Washington, not really Trump. Who knows what Trump's doing, but the Pentagon and State Department, to the extent that they're capable of anything, are so-called scrambling now to get transportation back for Americans. Like, you didn't think of this ahead of time? And that's just one thing. That's just a tiny thing, because I'm not overly worried about that part of it. Although there's some great stories that are going to come out about how people have had to, I heard one where the woman, she's 23 weeks pregnant with twins, and she had to take two long bus rides to finally get to Egypt or something. I don't know where it was. And then fly out from, who knows? It was like one of those travel adventures, except it was forced upon her because she's an American. They got stuck in the middle of Donald Trump's war for Israel. But that's the least of my concerns. You know, the guys that got killed, now, I don't think they're telling us all the Americans that have been killed over there, the soldiers, the sailors, the airmen.
I agree.
I think they're holding it back. And I know why they're holding it back, because now they're propagandizing us. They should have put a little more time ahead of time. Anyway, the guys that did get killed, the first batch, the four, I guess, who's the guy that's the head of CENTCOM? He's got the name of an actor.
The Fed's out of options. Rate cuts, money printing, balance sheet reversals. They call it policy, but it's really panic. This is in-game economics, where hope replaces discipline and the illusion of control finally breaks. They're not cutting rates because things are strong. They're cutting because the system is cracking. Inflation's eating savings. The labor market's stalling. Confidence in the dollar is fading fast. For decades, the Fed built a house of paper. Now they're striking the match that could burn it all down, leaving you to pay the price. When's the last time you actually held the wealth you've spent your life working for? My friends at Noble Gold Investments have been helping Americans move from paper wealth into real tangible assets. Numbers on a screen can disappear, but physical gold and silver, they've outlasted every crisis in history. Visit NobleGoldInvestments.com and get your free wealth protection kit today. That's NobleGoldInvestments.com for your free wealth protection kit. Discover how simple it is to protect your future.
Past performance may not be indicative of future results. Investing in precious metals, including gold, involves risks. Consult with your tax attorney or financial professional before making an investment decision.
Do your knees make you feel older than you are? You're out here trying to have a hot girl summer at 35. You're on dating apps. You're saying yes to spontaneous trips. Maybe you're rediscovering your flexibility, and your knees are like, actually, we'd like to quit. The IncrediWear Infrared Knee Sleeve uses fabric tech designed to increase blood flow and help reduce pain and speed recovery, so your knees can actually keep up with your life. It's like giving your body the support it already wants while it heals, just without all the extra pain and drama. Wear it to the gym. Wear it on a date. Wear it while you're doing things I cannot say on this podcast. It's comfortable, breathable, and works 24/7. Go to freesocks.com and grab the IncrediWear knee sleeve and a free pair of socks with purchase. That's freesox.com. Because if something's going to give out, let it be him, not your knees.
I know who you're talking about, but the name eludes me as well.
Yeah, anyway, CENTCOM guy, head of CENTCOM says, okay, we got these dead guys, and they were well protected. They were well protected. And then almost immediately, and I know there's a social media shutdown. We're not hanging anything off the ships. We're not hearing anything off of our military. Mm-hmm. But word gets out, I guess, and they said that that was not true, that the CENTCOM general is lying to you about how protected they were. They said they had no protection at all from anything being lobbed in from the sky. The protection that they had is the standard concrete portable.
They were just in a bunker. A portable bunker.
No, they weren't in a bunker. They were in a trailer.
Wow. Okay.
Like a house trailer. You know how they make offices out of house trailers? Yeah, like that. That's what they were in. And outside of the house trailer was concrete walls, maybe 8-10 feet high, which is pretty good, but it doesn't do, you know, it keeps you from being shot at, like, directly at, you know, arm's length, but didn't do anything like that. And so they were really angry about that. And the CENTCOM commander is lying. Okay. Oh, we took every precaution. No, you didn't. You hadn't even planned. They haven't planned out the slightest, most predictable responses to take care of our people. Nothing. They've done nothing. They thought this, and I think they did it, not because Trump is a crazed maniac, because he is, but the Pentagon has a job to do. And that is to, you know, when they get the orders months and months ago, apparently a year ago, some people are saying he's been planning this forever, but the Pentagon has plans, and a good much of that stuff, they have appendices for things like, what are we going to do? And, you know, for health, what are we going to do for civilians that we run into? How are we protecting our people? How do we expect this war to go? And then you play out the after effects, the ramifications. And then you say, well, do I need to prepare for this? Yeah, you do. And you're stupid if you don't. But all they do, instead of doing the work, okay, that they're paid to do, the Pentagon generals, instead of doing the work, they just lie. They just withhold information. I mean, we are turning into freaking Israel. You know, Israel, you can't.
So, Karen, why would the generals lie? You know, what's the SM for? Is it just to like be yes men?
Yeah,
to make it sound like a good idea.
Look, you could see it already. We had a little glimpse of it with the chairman of the JCS, Dan Kane or whatever,
yep.
Reason Kane. And he, remember when he went, just before this happened, he went to Congress and they were asking him questions. And he said, well, you know, this one is not like Venezuela. We could have logistical problems. We don't, you know, there are formidable, whatever, whatever. Basically, he was speaking cautiously, basically saying, you can't expect this to be a cakewalk. He didn't use those words, but he was communicating that. And so somebody asked Trump about it. And it was much like when somebody asked Trump about what Tulsi Gabbard had told him last March, that the Iranians were not building a bomb. And Trump goes, oh, no. Kane will do what I tell him to do. General Kane takes my orders. Okay, great. So I fault all of them. Because the last guy, and we have had one, which we've heard nothing about. But you remember the Southcom commander?
Yeah.
Halsey, his name was? Admiral Halsey?
Mm-hmm.
Not Halsey. That's another one from World War II. But Halsey retired relatively abruptly before the Caribbean operation, before the kidnapping of Maduro. And when he did it, he didn't say, I'm retiring to spend more time with my family, which is what they always say. He just said, I'm out. And but he's been silent. We don't know. What did he retire? Because he had was he mad about something Trump was doing other than breaking the law and the Constitution and murdering people on the high seas and kidnapping foreign leaders and violating international sovereignty, whatever. No, we don't know what he was mad about. It could have been something really little. But anyway, it's very interesting. But that guy quit, didn't say anything about why he quit. But we need people to get out there and say no. And Raisin Kane, I call him Raisin Kane because Dan Kane, General Kane, he has a reputation of being someone who is smart and capable, bold, willing to, I would assume, question. But again, I always go back to the old thing that they taught me when I was in the Pentagon, and they said when the full colonels get picked up for brigadier general, the first thing they do is they have a medical procedure, which is the general's lobotomy. And if they survive it, then they will proceed. So there's something happens when people get promoted to flag officer. And the smartest, best people in the Air Force and the other services rarely get past full colonel.
Right.
It's because of the required lobotomy, I guess. I don't know. But yeah, I have no respect for any of them. And no one should, really, honestly. No one should. I with the Eisenhower Media Group last night, we had a phone conversation, Zoom or whatever. And they wanted to put together talking points. And they did. Not really talking points, but just people's thoughts about some of the key points of this, what we would say to Congress right now, what we would say to the American people. And so I did put my points together. And then they said this morning, we're going to amalgamate these things. But anything you did, shoot it out there. So I put it on Substack and it's not an article. It is not an article. It's almost like talking points. It's not really, but like really, it's like really brief things that people need to understand about this war. And one of them is, of course, it's illegal. It's unconstitutional. It's based on lies. And it's a war for a foreign country. So those things are very important because our Americans are going to die. They have died already. And we've already lost over $10 billion in materials and probably a lot more in the run-up. But this is a war where American soldiers, navies, seamen, marines, airmen, go to a foreign country to fight another foreign country. Okay, there's no U.S. interest here whatsoever. There is some Israeli interest, Israel's interest in this really does not parallel completely with the U.S. interest, because Israel wants to break all the kingdoms too. Israel wants chaos everywhere, not just chaos in Iran. They want it everywhere because they are the hegemon, the military hegemon in the region, and they intend to be more than just a military hegemon. So Israel, Greater Israel, the Zionists, they have their own agenda. And that's fine. That's fine. You know, hey, if you can afford it, have an agenda. I'm all for that. You know, you can afford it on your own. You can pay for it. You can write the checks, have an agenda. But we shouldn't be paying for it. We shouldn't be facilitating it. We shouldn't be helping them, because part of their agenda is to screw us too. I'm sorry to say, part of Israel's agenda is to subvert the United States of America.
Well, Karen, I actually wanted to ask you about this, because I caught an article yesterday, and one of the things they point out in the article was something Trump said. He said, most of the people that we had in mind are dead. So, you know, we had some in mind from a group that is dead. And now we have another group. They may be dead also, based on reports. So I guess you have a third wave coming. Pretty soon, we're not going to know anybody. And when I read this, Karen, my instant thought was that Trump wanted to do something similar to Venezuela, where we take out the Ayatollah, somebody new gets elected, they sign a deal with the United States,
sign a deal with us.
Trump declares a quick victory. Mm-hmm. Netanyahu doesn't want that. No. He wants to fracture the Iranian state and turn it into Syria or maybe even Libya.
Right.
And so if there is no secession plan, if there's then, you know, the IRGC vying for power with the Islamic religious leadership, and the Kurds are breaking out and the other minority groups are breaking out, that's what Israel wants. And it seems like that's what they're trying to create. So I'm curious, do you think that Israel Netanyahu may be trying to actually subvert Trump's war from within it?
Oh, yeah, I absolutely think that, but not because of what you just said, although that there's a whole story there that supports it. Iran, the Aramco, Saudi Aramco's oil was the oil field, and was shut down really through a drone attack or something. And I think it was a drone. I'm not sure exactly. Anyway, they got a hit on that thing. And immediately Iran said, we did not do that. It's not a military target. Saudi Arabia, we didn't do that. And of course, Israel and America said, oh my God, look what Iran did. Shortly thereafter, they arrested Mossad agents in two different countries. I think Saudi and maybe UAE somewhere, I don't know. Anyway, so it's a false flag, and there will be many false flags. That may have been one. And that would have been, of course, really counter to American interests, but Israel, it's very supportive of Israel's interests, because they want you. Why not you and let's you and him fight? That's one of their bigger strategies. You know, they want Iran, who had actually had a rapprochement with Saudi, right? I mean, they were talking and they were working together. They're not friends, but they are in the same neighborhood, and they were working to get along. Despite the fact that, of course, Saudi Arabia is big time into the Epstein files, though, by the way, but the U.S. government and that kind of thing. And they joined the Abraham Accords. So they're friends with everybody. But Iran and Saudi Arabia had been building bridges very actively, and they were doing it kind of on their own. And Iran did not do that. I'm pretty sure Iran didn't do it. Now, I could be, well, you're wrong. They did it. It was an accident, but they still did it. No, I don't think so, because it fits in with Israel's track record. Okay, so there's that. And that happened before this latest issue of third wave, and soon we won't know anybody. That is very much something that Israel is interested in preventing. And that is a leader who can stabilize and unify Iran in this post-conflict scenario, or throughout the future conflict if it lasts for a long, long time. I mean, like years, right? Because apparently, and there's this great article out from, I forget, somebody sent it to me, and I just got through reading it, by a kind of an assessment of the impact of us taking out the Ayatollah, because he's not just the leader, you know, the top spiritual advisor and the leader of Iran. He is the global Shia religious icon. He's the top guy. He's like the Pope. Pope for the Shia. So, and we took him out in the, 10th or 11th day of Ramadan. That's like killing a Pope in Easter, right? Let's do that. Let's have a big assassination of the Pope on Easter. How do you think Catholics would react to that around the world? Well, they wouldn't like it. In terms of Iran, what that does is it does what anytime your country's attacked, even if you don't have a society that is as ancient and as connected and integrated as Iran's society. I'm not saying they don't have people that think differently and they have different ethnic groups, but it is a society that kind of functions effectively under semi-wartime conditions. And they've done that since we made them an enemy in 1979. Mm-hmm. So the people know how to work together. They're used to being attacked and dissed and sanctioned and all that. And then now they're being attacked and their leader is killed. What does that do? It unites the country. Even in a lousy country that people hate each other in, you're still getting united if an outsider attacks and you have a big shock. Look at 9/11. What did Americans do after 9/11? That first, oh my God. You know, it's an emotional, human, sociological reaction.
Right.
And so we did that squared when we killed the Ayatollah, in terms of how we injected the population with not just rage and anger, but righteous anger and a sense of unity. And really, I don't know much about Shia Islam, but it is Islam and they have frequent prayers. They are in touch with, it's a religion that expresses its spirituality 7 days a week, right? Which we Christians like to think we would do the same thing, but really we don't. But they do. And it's, you could say, well, it's just going through the motions. It doesn't matter if you're going through the motions. It's like the old time Catholics that go to mass, you know, every single day. You know, you're engaged with your religion. Well, they're engaged with their religion and we just slapped it and spit on it. And now we're killing their kids. And also day one, we kill a school. And Mohammed Morandi was talking about that because he lives in Tehran. And he said the school, you can find it on Google Maps. And it's not, they said, oh, well, there's a military installation nearby or some command thing. And he said that had not been there for 10 years. It was not been used. So given all of the intel that certainly Israel has, certainly the Mossad has, and also the United States has, as far as targeting, there's no way that was an accident. Okay. Now, I don't know that for sure, but do you think the Iranians who saw that happen on day one, do you think they're going to conclude that was, oh, sorry, you know, we didn't mean to hit that? No, they're not going to conclude that. They're going to conclude that we want to do them like Israel's been doing Gaza. And actually, Israel does want to do them like they're doing Gaza because they are carpet bombing Tehran and they're carpet bombing the other large cities. So, you know, is that out of frustration? Is that part of a strategy of terror? Of course, it's frustration, terror, you know. I mean, this is so, it's so obvious. It's so predictable in many ways. But what does shock me is how poorly prepared Trump and his administration have been, which tells me they didn't really, you know how when you're invested in something, like let's say you want to buy a house and your spouse, your girlfriend, whatever, you're going to buy a house. And one of the parties really gets interested in, they shop around and they look at neighborhoods and where schools are, you know, and they check the prices. They find out what the, you know, how much interest I'll have to pay and where would the best loan be from. Okay. That's one of them. And then the other one says, whatever you want, dear. Okay. Which one you think Trump is? Because he has not invested himself in even the basic knowledge of how you would want to approach a problem like Iran if you were going to do it from a military perspective, which clearly he wanted to because the, oh, and I'm sorry, I know I'm rambling on, but I have given Steve Witkoff so much credit. I don't even know the guy. Given so much credit. Well, you know, he's calm. He's reasonable. He talks to all these people on behalf of Trump. And I figured Trump listens to him. And it turns out he's just a weasel. He's a rat. He is a rat. And so he's feeding Trump what Trump wants to hear, according to, the Iranians aren't negotiating. No, they're just playing us. That's not what he told them. That's not what he told the Omani who was in the room. But then he goes back to Trump and says, so they're all snakes. No war for Israel.
So, Karen, I want to ask you, over the past, you know, 5 days that we've had this conflict going on, the initial reports are U.S. officials are telling media outlets, these are unnamed sources, that, you know, the administration envisions this lasting a few days. And then officials on the record, Rubio and Trump and Vance, I believe, come out and say a week. Then Trump comes out and says 3 to 4 weeks. And then he says 4 to 5 weeks. Yeah. And today, headset says 4 weeks, 6 weeks, 8 weeks, 3 weeks. Who knows? So does this sound like we are building towards a forever war in the Middle East?
No, because we can't. We don't have that. We don't have the staying power for that. Which is why they thought it would be done. Look, I swear to God, they had this thing. They started it on Friday night, early Saturday morning, and the day of fasting before Purim was Monday. And Purim, the Jewish holiday, is Tuesday. It's already finished, or at least it started on Tuesday. But what's that about, right? I'm not Jewish. I had to read about it. But Purim is the celebration of Queen Esther of Persia, mm-hmm. who's a Jewish queen of Persia. And she saved the Jewish folk, told them what the bad Persian guy was going to do, and saved the Jews from Persia. So it's a beautiful story. And I'm sure it's meant to inspire, like everything in the Bible is meant to teach you something, to inspire you or whatever. But they actually, I think, constructed this war around that holiday. It happens to, you know, also be, you know, Ramadan, but I don't really think they don't care about Ramadan. It's just one additional insult that they can throw at the enemy, but they do care about this image of Jewish piety in Israel, because it's really mostly an atheistic state for the most part. But
well, on top of this, we're not only from the Jewish perspective, but we've had reports that American military commanders are telling their troops that this is about bringing on the Christian rapture. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, American officials, American politicians are going on and on, like Ted Cruz. They're Islamic fundamentalists. They're just, their religion demands that they kill and things like this. They hate America because of Islam. Right. But in reality, it seems like the only countries waging religious wars here are Israel and the U.S. and not Iran.
That's right. That's right. And this is really a massive echo of, you know, Bush and his crusade. And he had to stop using that word crusade. He used it, or crusaders or something. And of course, they said, oh, no, don't use that, because that implies this is a religious war. So he quit doing it. But Bush was under the spell of these same people, the evangelical Christian Zionists, who apparently think that God chooses human governments and then says some of them are better than others. And if that's the case, we're in big trouble here in the United States, because our government hasn't been functional for quite some time. And certainly the Zionist government is not something that any God would choose as to associate with any type of spirituality or any type of morality. So, but it's a great story. It's a great story. And apparently that's what they're telling our soldiers. And I guess there's an ability to make complaints. And that's what's happening. There's a complaint forum of some sort that and people, soldiers, enlisted people, all kinds of people are saying, yeah, the commander came in or the captain came in and, you know, explain to us how we're going to bring through, you know, the rivers of blood, and Jesus is going to return. And okay, there's a place for that. And it is not the Pentagon. And it's also not Congress. It's also not the White House. So I don't know. That is another. Well, again, I've long had no respect for politicians. That's, you know, and I think I share that with majority of Americans. But I also have lost any residual respect that I had for the military leadership, for sure. And it's not because the civilians lied. The military people knew the truth and went along with it. That's, I'm talking about from 24 years ago. And it looks like the relationship has simply evolved and it's tighter than ever. And they use the military as their own personal playground, you know, their own means of salvation. You know, I mean, I guess when they go to heaven, and St. Peter, you know, and he said, "What'd you do?" And well, you know, I roused up a bunch of military people to go kill Muslims. I think they'll be surprised. I think they'll be surprised at what St. Peter would say about that. But anyway, I don't know. But it is insane to make your foreign policy that way. And it is actually an insult to the diversity that we have in the military. And this is the other thing I don't get. I thought this whole country was all like diversity, like tolerance. You know, we had devil worshipers, but they have a right to practice their religion in the Pentagon. We have, you know, everybody's supposed to be tolerant in our whole society. And yet we are, when it comes to the government making a war or the government saying, I'm going to cram this particular narrative down your throat, what happens to diversity? No, you have to shut up and take it. That's wrong. That is un-American. I encourage everybody to don't get so mad that you can't do anything, like you're frustrated. But seriously, kick back, push back, talk back. We cannot tolerate this kind of thing. And the other thing is, they're reaching into your pocket and my pocket and everybody else's pocket and all of our grandchildren hadn't even been born yet's pocket, okay, to pay for this. I'm not one to compare, you know, China's beautiful speed trains and beautiful bridges and beautiful cities and low cost of living. And, I don't see that as particularly, I mean, there's a lot of things about China that aren't necessarily good. It has a big state. I'm a libertarian. I don't like big states, big centralized, powerful surveillance states. I don't like them. So I'm not going to sing China's praises. Okay. But when you look at how China has spent the money that it prints like ours, that it borrows like ours, that it gets through the backs of the people, just like our government. When you look how they spend their money, it's kind of like what Trump was promising his MAGA crowd. You know, yep. I'm going to rebuild America. We're going to fix our bridges. Our roads are not going to have potholes. Maybe we'll have some fast trains. You know, maybe energy prices will go down. You'll be able to be a middle class person again, like your parents were. But now you're slipping into poverty and you're on aid. So but Trump said, I'm going to fix all this because we're a great country and we have a lot of resources. And what do we do with our resources and our greatness? You know, do the bidding of Israel. That's one thing we do. But even if we did the bidding of Israel, you know, you could do what Israel asks you to do as long as it's not war. Right. I have no problem with if Israel says, hey, why don't we in Washington get together and we'll make some technology. They do that, a lot of that, except it's all for war. And then why don't you and I get together and go do something for the world? Except all it is war. They don't do anything for the world. And we're sucked into that. So it is, this is something. Oh, I do have a positive aspect. Do I have time for one positive thing?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. The good thing about all this is we're going to lose. We're losing now. And we're going to lose this adventure that they've ginned up in Iran. And in the process of losing it, we're also going to have all of our bases in the Middle East destroyed, all of our missile capacity destroyed, and everything that we have will be either non-operational or we'll just be waiting for it off the production line at very slow rates, because very slow rates is all that our military industrial complex can do with the kind of weapon systems that it delivers for us. So our military strength will be revealed to the world as kind of like, you know, popcorn, right? Not very dense, not a lot of staying power. And China's not going to take us because if they wanted to, that would be the time to strike, but they're not going to. And neither, of course, is Russia. They have no intention of doing that. But what will happen is the American people and the Congress will say, you know what? Trump wants now maybe he wants $3 trillion a year to rebuild the military that he just wasted. Or that Iran and Israel helped him waste. We have nothing left. We got to rebuild it. And then they're going to sit down and really do a national security strategy, one that actually defends America, does not defend a superpower, does not even attempt to be a superpower. And we start telling other countries, we stop telling other countries how to live and what they should do and who they should elect and how they should be run. And I think that will come out of this. But the problem is they're murdering people to do it. And we didn't have to murder people to get a good national security strategy. We didn't have to murder, you know, thousands of people, many of them innocent people, in order to decide to bring our troops home, right? Yep. Ron Paul's been advising it. Many politicians have picked up on that. They want to bring the troops home. Trump himself twice, bring the troops home, you know? So I'm infuriated.
Yeah, I think as we all should be. Karen, I think we'll have to leave it there for today, but thank you so much for your time today again on the show. And, you know, hopefully I'll have you back on the show again in the future, not too long. Okay. And we'll be talking about the end of this conflict, whatever it means, and not that this thing is grinding on and possibly turning into a ground invasion or something absolutely crazy. So I really appreciate all of your insight and analysis, and we will definitely do it again.
Okay. Thanks a lot. Always fun, Kyle. Thank you.
Thank you.
Craving the coffee flavor you love, but without the caffeine? Cachava's got you covered with their newest coffee flavor. This all-in-one nutrition shake delivers bold, authentic flavor crafted from premium decaffeinated Brazilian beans. Quality nutrition shouldn't be complicated. Just 2 scoops of Cachava's all-in-one nutrition shake and you've got 25 grams of protein, 6 grams of fiber, greens, and so much more. Whether you're craving that coffee taste to kickstart your morning ritual or as a nutrient-packed reward to round out your afternoon, Cachava keeps you fueled and satisfied wherever your day takes you. Plus, it actually tastes delicious. No fillers, no nonsense. Just the good stuff your body craves. And for the times you feel like switching it up, you've got 7 flavors to choose from, all with the highest quality ingredients. Treat yourself to the flavor and nutrition your body craves. Go to cachava.com and use code SHAKE. New customers get 15% off their first order. That's K-A-C-H-A-V-A.com, code SHAKE.
If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.